Everybody, welcome to the Thursday Sports Line with Old Dog Hour. Captain Laurie alongside. Take you to 3 o'clock. Hand it out there. Great friend Phil Benatti on location, as always, on a Thursday at Fashion Furniture with another good friend, Rod Evadikian. Stop by. See Phil. Check out the best furniture you're going to find anywhere. Nothing like it in all of California. Also, participate if you can in person, or you can give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Always some good eats there as well. El Paso across from River Park. Phil will be there until 5 o'clock today, and then it's time for Week 8 of the National Football League as the Chargers host the Vikings. Again, we have the Westwood One feed for you nationally, and that is a prime video game. You know what? Al Michaels would say that this is exactly what it is these days, a video game. And by the way, Al is giddy because this is a home game for Al Michaels. He doesn't have to travel very far whenever the Rams or the Chargers are hosting. So Al is very pleased. He can get an extra round of golf at Bel Air Country Club before he starts everything on Prime with Kirk Herbstreit, who works every game on the planet. And you can find that on Prime Video if you are paying for it. But for us, easier for you just to listen to the radio feed tonight. I will tell you all about the schedules for both 1430 and 790 a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioeng.net for more information. And again, I'll tell you about the fundraising Ed does for the Lyles College of Engineering when we go over the schedule. It's Jackson Moore, as usual, the second visit of the week, and this one, because Tuesday was the post-mortem on everything over the weekend, and for Fresno State, still rehashing everything that went on the Friday prior to this last Friday at Colorado State. It'll be all about looking at Fresno State and San Diego State and what Jackson expects to see for the 12:30 kick on Saturday at the stadium, and we'll go over the weather in just a moment. And by the way, it looks a lot more promising that you're going to have a clear day and not precipitation, but that is always subject to change. We'll get there in just a second and spend some time with our other lead dogs before we bring Jackson up. But first, I want to remind you about a couple of things in regard to Saturday. Of course, our great friend Jeff Tedford going in the Ring of Honor. Jeff, as a player and a coach, being honored at Fresno State, and certainly well-deserved. And because of that great honor, a couple of reminders here. One, the folks at Fresno Suit Outlet and Bulldog Bread Vodka both getting together now to acknowledge everything going on with Teddy and what will happen with that ceremony at halftime. Again, Bulldog Bread Vodka, very, very important as Fresno State does everything he can with all its fundraising. And right now you can find Bulldog Bread Vodka, Clovis and Fresno's Costco location. So you're talking about the one in Clovis and then the one off of Abbey here. You can find Bulldog Bread Vodka at both of those Costcos. So support your dogs just in time for a homecoming, one sip at a time. $3 sold from every bottle goes to support student-athletes, so it's a great fundraiser and something that is very needed. It's available at 100-plus locations currently, Bulldog Bread Vodka is. And the other reminder in regard to Jeff Tedford comes from longtime friends at Fresno Suit Outlet. They want to congratulate Teddy being the new member of the Ring of Honor. They have been proud to be part of previous historic occasions at Fresno State and certainly proud to be part of this one. They've been serving the community for 20 years and counting. In your need of a suit, stop by Fresno Suit Outlet and score yourself. Again, a great deal, and we've talked about this before, home of the $399 suit deals. So thanks, everybody, at Fresno Suit Outlet, and congratulations to Jeff Tedford. And I do want to mention this to Teddy. It has been now 30 years since Jeff and I were doing the coordinator show that was in Pat's first year, or actually Sweeney's last year, carrying over to Pat's first year. So that was 1996. So we are rolling in just a couple of months to 30 years since Teddy and I were doing that show together. And it has been a long and winding and very successful road for Jeff Tedford from here to Oregon to Cal ultimately back here again, and all the great success. And we are really pleased that Jeff is going in the Ring of Honor, and thanks to everybody at Fresno Suit Outlet for being part of this right now. All right, the other reminders, guys, I mentioned the weather. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Again, more information on the web at leesair.com, or you can give them a call at 825-5337, 825-LEES. Terrific local people. Been in NorCal and the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. As far as the weather goes, a little cloudy today, but still a pleasant day out, as we have been looking more closely at the weekend because we know the inherent possibility of rain, but it doesn't look as great. So after a 72 today and then more clouds tomorrow and a 77, temperatures are really nice. Over the weekend, we're looking at 73 on Saturday, 70 on Sunday. The latest forecast, though, there is a chance of precipitation on both Saturday and Sunday. It appears to be not only north of the metro area, but last check I saw, they're looking now at maybe just nothing more than sprinkles. Though keep in mind, we were only supposed to have sprinkles yesterday, and it rained fairly decently in the metro area. But it looks good for the 12:30 kick. So if you're getting out there to tailgate early or you have to head home afterward, you should be able to beat any fog possibilities. And it should be a pleasant day out. And I hope that everybody who has tickets certainly goes and we get a full house for that very important game. After the 73 and 70 over the weekend, 74 Monday, 75 Tuesday, and 77 Wednesday, and the extended shows us almost at 80 a week from today, and 73 on Halloween night, and 74 on Saturday in another week. So really good weather this time of year. That's usually the case. The lows are in the 50s. That should protect you from a lot of fog, but again, with the moisture in the air, in the outlying areas in particular, I know it was problematic this morning. Be very careful out there. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. And again, they do bring guests on our show and Phil's and callers from the general public at, for Phil, at the 559-320-1430 number, which is the Lee's Air Hotline. Okay, the other reminders here, guys. One comes from our good friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Joe been a booster at Fresno State for over three decades, celebrating the 25th anniversary of his very successful business here in town. Stop by and see him at 4529 North Marty Avenue, Suite 103, or give him a call at 266-7473. Again, Joe is there. Gabe, who works for Joe, also there. More information on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. We talk about this every day. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, everything you need from an industrial standpoint, whether you're working at a plant of some type, a maintenance person, a tanker delivery individual, someone on a dairy, anybody who's working around valves. It's really important. If a valve happens to go down, your business can go down with it, because without it, you can't deliver the product. Joe was able to do what's his family-friendly business. So have you come in or give him a call. He'll analyze your situation, give you a same-day estimate, and set you on a path to get you back up and running if you're down, or he'll keep you up and running if you're starting to experience problems. The biggest aspect of this, not only the superior components, but the timely nature of it to keep this from becoming a catastrophic problem for you. And if you stop in, Joe will look at your situation, do everything he can right away to solve it, and then if you have a few minutes, he would like to tell you what he does for Fresno State and what he'd like to see you do in the way of fundraising. And again, the best way to go about it right now is to head to GoBulldogs.com. That is the main website, of course, for Fresno State. Talk about it day after day. You find the different links there for ways to give on campus and otherwise. And once again, if you hit the website at GoBulldogs.com, you will see the donate link at the top. You can't miss it. It'll take you initially to the link for the BDF, BulldogFoundation.org, is the link. And, of course, they're celebrating their 75th anniversary right now. And that will show you what you can do as far as being a member to the BDF, which can help for scholarships. And then also, under that header, you're able to go to the Major Giving Society links, which would mean the Green V Society, Myers Champion Circle. Then under Ways to Give, there is a Methods of Support section, so it'll tell you exactly how you can go about your donation. And then you'll also find under that header the Valley Co-op, which is very important. Jamie De La Serta doing a big-time move for Fresno State with the $1 million deal. We've seen Vance Wahlberg do the same for his program. We'll also, by the way, talk about the media days with Jackson in just a couple of minutes in Vegas today for the men and the women for basketball. And then also the sports clubs are there, and that means you can give your money directly to an individual sport. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me every Wednesday to talk basketball. Jack said call him directly on his cell if you'd like to be a member. The timeout club, 559-287-3305. Or his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com. There are also links there for other men's and women's sports, including the Dugout Club for baseball. So check that out under sports clubs. And then, as we mentioned before, NIL, all under the aegis of Fresno State right now. Any idea you have there, sponsorship, donation, make sure you contact them through Go Bulldogs. And also, you have got the links for more information there. You can click on that, and it'll tell you about tickets and parking for all events on campus and a variety of other things. So the one-stop shopping at GoBulldogs.com, that is where you'll find your donation opportunities. And we thank Joe Cruz for allowing us the time each and every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. And I mentioned this time and time again. Joe, guys like Ed Dunkel, the people that have stepped up, they're the ones that are going to make this happen, because it has to be a grassroots effort right now. You're not going to have a $50 million donor like Stanford got with Brad Freeman. It's going to be different here. So I commend everybody who's stepping up to help out Fresno State. And one of the others that have done that would be our friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Quick reminder about what's going on there right now, because they, at those local KFCs, have gone back to what was so popular back in the late 90s, and that is putting the honey barbecue flavor on everything they serve, the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love, the 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. They're all on sale right now at the local KFCs. It's a great opportunity in this month of October to stop by. Everybody who has in the past had that honey barbecue sauce on everything, you know how great it is as they cook it right into the meat, and it's a terrific chance for you to pick up these special deals at those local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and thank them for supporting athletics throughout the Central Valley. KFC, it's always been and always will be finger-licking good, and we thank them for their sponsorship. Anyway, thanks to everybody, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Naturally, as always, what they're able to do for us, we really appreciate, particularly the Lee's Air Hotline, and, of course, the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All that having been said, let's turn to our great friend and de facto co-host. It is Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
It's just nifty. As you know, you talked to me right before the show. This is this was calling an audible today, and I want to thank Jorge, because let's just say this. AT&T decided to mess with the phone lines right before the show, Jackson. And what I'm imploring them to do is to not mess with the phone lines again until after the show is done. We'll find out in the next 40 minutes. As I've said before, you want to be a host all by yourself in your own megalomaniacal way? You may get a chance, Jackson. You may just get an opportunity, and I know you're really looking forward to that, aren't you?
I'm good where I'm at. We need you to keep running this thing.
You're busy enough, I know, but I think you can expand your base even more with that. So if what you hear suddenly is this, you'll know that's your cue. That's your big time right there. Hey, listen, always appreciate you spending some time with us. The way of housekeeping guides very quickly here. Four things from yesterday in quick order. One, I was talking about gambling and ESPN and how Mike Greenberg and L. Duncan have to report on stuff. And then it's very awkward when the commercials are the two of them hawking, I used a different word I shouldn't have used yesterday, hawking the product that is betting and sport. And Ramon said, did you notice how uncomfortable Mike Greenberg was this morning on Get Up when the breaking news about the issues in the NBA came up? Yes, Ramon, I noticed that Mike had that look on his face like, I'd rather be anywhere but here to report on what was going on with Terry Rozier and with Chauncey Billups, because even Greenberg had to say, you know, we kind of condone this stuff, and that's the awkward part of it. The other thing is, whoever it was who asked, is that really L. Duncan's real first name? Her real first name is Lauren. She goes by L, like L. McPherson, E-L-L-E. So technically it's not her real first name, but I'm sure they call her L anyway. I don't know why you needed to know that, but you did. Okay. So I just want to toss that in. The other two things. One, Jackson, and I should have known this when I talked to you about it on Tuesday. Remember we were talking about, you were mentioning the brawl in 1992, right? The Fresno State game down at the old Murph in San Diego. And, you know, the one that was decided ultimately. It was a great shootout. Was it 45-41, whatever it ended? With Dilfer to Titus Wyman's in the corner of the end zone, and the Bulldogs won it. But they did have the brawl there. You were talking about that, and I was mentioning some of the comments that the San Diego local telecast made here in 1997, which was the year after Jim Sweeney retired, and Jim was on the field, and I was watching the San Diego State backhaul. That was before the networks got involved, so it was, you know, the Bulldog games, as you know, were on Channel 26 at that time and all of that. So you got to hear the local point of view, kind of what Cacala did that day with the Armpit of California comment, right, from Hawaii, when Hawaii was here. I had said to you, yeah, that was the 2019 game. And I got an email saying, well, Jim Sweeney, which wasn't honored in 2019. No, 2019 was the final score of the game. Okay, that's what I meant. But when I heard it back, I understood completely what the issue was when I said 2019. Yeah, no, that was the game score. It wasn't the day. It was 1997 that happened. And I did want to ask you about that brawl. I see on the board that it's drawn quite a lot of attention, right?
I don't recall seeing too many brawls over my lifetime for Bulldog football. You know, you always seem to see one or two on ESPN each week, especially during rivalry time, probably a lot more than one or two. But, I hadn't recalled seeing too many scenes of Fresno State uniforms doing what's on tape from that 1992 game.
Well, that was a wild scene in that game. It was helmet swinging. There was everything going on there. And, you know, I noticed this week again, San Diego State guys saying they do not refer to Fresno State by name. They call it that team up north. I didn't know they were so laid back down there. I didn't know they got mad about anything. Did you?
Yeah, it's funny because you know, they've been leaning into this rivalry, but Fresno State hasn't all that much. I heard much from Coach Entz. You know, he's been talking about how there's a lot of new players on this roster, and last year's team, of course, didn't see San Diego State, so. Not a whole lot of players on this team that actually have experience of being vital parts of the game between these two teams. So this will kind of be a launching point, I think, into the Pac-12. It could be a notable rivalry in the conference if it goes a certain way on Saturday.
Right. And the final thing, when I was talking with Ferdy yesterday about NBC picking up the NBA, first time really since Michael Jordan's heyday when Jordan and the Bulls were going through their 6 and 8 years. Those games were on NBC, Marv Albert, Bob Costas, that group, Ahmad Rashad. And so they're back, and it was really nice at the start of this week when you actually had a Monday night football game on over-the-air television on Channel 30. You had Game 7 of the ALCS over the air on Big Fox, though they didn't want to do it on Sunday because of the Simpsons. As we talked, they put it on FS1. And then you did have the NBA over the air on NBC on Tuesday night. But I had mentioned to Jack that the problem was when the OKC-Houston game went overtime, as opposed to TNT, who had the rights before. I mean, ABC and ESPN are still the primary rights holders right now. But when TNT had the games all those years, anytime they had a spillover like that, they could preempt whatever was on TBS, and they could put that other game on. NBC's problem was all they have right now is an internet offering in Peacock. There isn't another cable or satellite outlet for them. And I had said that NBC Sports Network, which was there for years, was dropped by Comcast. And I got an email saying, well, wait a minute, I've got DirecTV, so I should still be able to get it. I meant Comcast as the owner of NBC, not Comcast, your provider. It's the same company, but Comcast actually owns NBC. They made the decision to pull the plug for cost-cutting on the NBC Sports Network offering and pulled it off of everything. So I wasn't saying that just you folks who have Xfinity, that you lost NBC Sports Network. Comcast made a corporate decision to pull the plug on it about a year ago, and because of it, they don't have a backup for you on cable or satellite. So it's either over the air or internet. And the problem with the internet offering, that is under a subheader, meaning you've got to pay a subscription for it. So anything you want to add, Jax, into all of this housekeeping, or are we done with this?
I think we're good.
Okay, in the immortal words of Frank Sinatra, right? The thousand's on the table, baby. I'm through with you. Would you like to tell people what Frank was referring to? I don't think you need to tell them. I think everybody, knowing Frank, I think they know what it was. All right, let's get to it. Fresno State, San Diego State. On Tuesday, you and I talked about what we are pretty well certain we're going to see defensively from San Diego State. One more time, they're going to load the box. They are going to keep Fresno State from being able to go deep because the Bulldogs haven't shown the proclivity to do that. I'm talking about if Warner is in there. And they're going to force everything to the short passing game, and it's going to be up to the offense of Fresno State, without that running game being able to dominate, to use the backs out of the backfield with pass catching, to use the tight ends, and more particularly to move the chains, not make mistakes, meaning nothing that puts you behind the chains like penalties or sacks, certainly no turnovers. And then when you get in the red zone, finding a way to get sixes instead of threes. That's the MO against Fresno State. It's going to be the MO every single week, as we talked over and over again, Jackson, from the Kansas game on, until the Bulldogs figure out a way to make people pay for loading the box. You can only do that by throwing effectively until they have to back off the loading. We know that's what's going to happen. But on the other side of the ball, what do we expect to see from guys like Denegal and Napier and the guys on an offense for San Diego State that's much more dynamic than the run first that we saw for so many years, where the Aztecs never seemed to have a quarterback? Haven't had a quarterback since Dennis Shaw, for goodness sake, in the 60s. How different are they right now offensively, and how tough are they going to be for the Bulldogs to deal with defensively?
Yeah, it's night and day different. I mean, they're going to spread it out. They're going to be up-tempo. It's been one of the emphasis. We've seen at practice this week. Been getting the defense ready for some potential hurry-up, no-huddle-type situations that could come throughout the game from San Diego State here. But it's rather interesting. You know, they've scored a lot of points, but they're not over-the-top impressive when you look at just the statistical numbers. What really stands out more than anything, I think, as far as big numbers, it's just the fact that it's so balanced. The passing game and the running game is about equal statistically to this point. So they're not passing it a whole lot to be matching their rushing numbers, but they've been pretty efficient. They were over 80% from Denegal the last two games he's been out there throwing the ball around. Again, didn't throw for more than, I think, 210 yards in the first four games for them, but picked it up a little bit the last two. So it's not overly threatening through the air, and they haven't had a bunch of huge rushing plays either. They're starting running back, Lucky Sutton. He's got 100-plus carries in his longest gain of the whole season, 17 yards. So they're going to grind it out with the running game to an extent. So really the one weapon you got to worry about is Jordan Napier on the outside, the wide receiver got about half of their receiving numbers on the season. He's a dynamic player, and he's one that can really be their game breaker. But otherwise, I think probably this, it doesn't sound all that difficult on just talking about the numbers, but you look at their O-line, and it's a huge line for a team that spreads the ball out. They've got four guys that stand at over 335 pounds. There's a 350-pounder in there. They do a good job of getting those 3 or 4 yards that, you know, most teams need to line up and the heavy personnel to get. You know, they can be out there and shotgun, spread you out, and then just ride behind those giant linemen and get a few yards at a time and keep the offense ahead of schedule. So I think that combination with Fresno State's defense, which up until the first drive at Colorado State really hadn't given up a huge play almost all season long, if the Bulldogs can make them drive the length of the field and kind of dink it and dunk it a bit, that might be a chance for them to pair that with an offense that might be able to go on some long drives and just shorten this game overall and try to keep it as low scoring as possible, especially if you can kind of bend but don't break, make the Aztecs kick some field goals. I think there's some chances there as long as they don't give up the big one, which has been a strength for this defense most of the year.
What's interesting is it was a singular loss, the loss of Colorado State. But it seems like it's been two or three losses because, A, the bye week gave us too much time to rehash it, right? But the second thing is when you look at the analytics, and we talked about it, you see where the deficiencies are. And what I found interesting is as much as when it's come down to a five-minute game, which was the goal at the start of the year, Fresno State has had success. Now, admittedly, they were on the high wire three different times. They easily, as we've talked, could have lost at Oregon State. They certainly could have lost at Hawaii, and they most assuredly put themselves in a tough position against Nevada here. As we talked, if Jones pulls that down instead of handing to the back, the Bulldogs might have lost that game. But woulda, coulda, shoulda, in this case, in Fresno State's favor, they won all three. Jackson, the defense, analytically, doesn't look as good on paper as it does on the field. We've talked about them playing really good defense, but the analytics say they haven't been great, which is the truth. And leave Colorado State out for the moment. Again, about the play, Mrs. Lincoln, right? But, I mean, leave that one out. Has this been a better defense because they've made the plays late than the stats show? I'm at Fresno State.
Well, I think it's been long stretches where they've been either good or not so good. I think the Southern, Hawaii, and Nevada games all the way up until late third quarter, fourth quarter, I mean, that was a red-hot defense. They weren't giving up anything. It's easy to forget how good they were in that Hawaii game when the offense surrendered 9 of the 21 points that the Rainbow Warriors scored. At the same time, it's easier to forget it wasn't a very good performance at Oregon State. You know, you think about the special teams and the offense scoring late, and the game, you go ahead field goal and the pick six, but the Beavers did a lot of what they wanted to do in that game. You pair that with the Kansas game, of course, didn't go well. I mean, you even throw in the Colorado State game where the defense was really bad for about 30 minutes, but about as good as possible for 30 minutes. They didn't give up a first down from about the mid-second quarter to the fourth quarter to the Rams. So it almost encapsulated the season where there's been just stretches where they have looked really, really good and stretches where they've been pretty poor. Colorado State and the Kansas games, especially with the tackling, whereas a lot of the other games they've had few tackling issues at all. So it's hard to say exactly, but I think the thing that's impressed me the most has been that they haven't given up big plays. The big one to Colorado State early in the season is really the only one. And then the first one before that was a long pass that Nevada threw late in that game. So I think for this defense, they're very focused on just fundamentals. And you know, when those fundamentals fall apart, there might not be that extra layer that makes them stand out. So they just got to be able to tackle well and keep everything in front of them. And I think this is a matchup that should allow them to do that.
Any doubt in your mind, barring a turnover fest on either side, that with 5 minutes to go in this game, it's still going to be within reach for both teams? It would seem to be inevitable, right?
I think so. I think for me, the biggest part is just how Fresno State's defense performs. it's just hard for me to see many points being out there for the taking for Fresno State's offense in this matchup. And it's almost an interesting dynamic there where, yes, the blueprint is for teams to stack the box, as you mentioned, but I mean, San Diego State has been excellent defensively, just doing what they do. They stick to what they normally do instead of breaking from their mold a little bit. And the scary part is, statistically, it says they should be able to slow down or limit the Bulldogs' running game, maybe even without loading the box, which could make life really, really difficult for Fresno State if there's a normal amount of players in the secondary and getting ready for the passing game, and the Bulldogs have struggled to take advantage of maybe some numbers advantages against previous opponents. So you know, it's one where I fear a little bit. EJ Warner, perhaps he doesn't do anything wrong early on, but it could be a disgruntled fan base if you know he may be doing what he's supposed to do, but the offense may still not have that much success against the San Diego State defense that is number one in the conference. It may be a frustrating start, but the key is for the defense to just keep this game afloat, I would say. Give the offense a chance to match the Aztecs or put themselves in another late game situation where they can try to kind of be the team that handles adversity the best down the final stretch.
Because of the bye week, we've had plenty of time to hash and rehash and make hash out of the quarterbacking situation. But without question, and you brought it up in the outset, that when you talked to Josh Davis before the season started, the OC at Fresno State, there was that concession that the Bulldogs were not going to be able to on a week-to-week basis. And again, coming from FCS, as you also referenced, they maybe have been surprised a little bit about the difficulty you have in conference when you're at the FBS level, and that's an adjustment for anybody coming from that particular venue or venues into here. But that they were going to have to take what the defense gives them. And again, the implication is clear. If you're going to do that, if they're going to stop the run, then you knew going in you were going to have to be able to throw it. Warner has done so far the one thing that was problematic for him, as we've gone over and over again at both Rice and Temple, which is to make some good throws, to be resourceful, but then make that big mistake that completely erases the effect, the positive effect of a drive. And if it goes the other way, either great field position or actually goes for six the other way, now suddenly you find yourself burning clock and falling farther behind. Is it solvable, Jackson, one more time with Warner? Is this something that is fixable right now, or is it inevitable that Conklin's going to have to see duty, or is it truly this is not the line in the sand, but the line in the quick drying cement this week, because you have to win this game. If you don't, we've said mathematically you still have a chance, but realistically your chance to be in the top two goes out the window. What is the leeway, the leash, if you will, if you want to use that vernacular, about Warner if he can't get done exactly what Davis and Entz need?
Yeah, I think the leash here goes to kind of the patterns of the season where, again, the Bulldogs have won five games and then three of them, he's navigated the team pretty well to get to that victory. Hasn't had too many mistakes in those games. Obviously, the two losses on top of some rough defensive performances, the mistakes have really multiplied and piled on themselves for Warner throughout the course of that game as it really got away from Fresno State both times. So I think, you know, if you see a signal that it's headed that way, which I think is a potential outcome here, just given how good San Diego State's defense is and how much they've been pouring on the points. They've done that to three of the last four opponents they faced, and one of them was Cal, who's having a pretty good season right now. So
right.
I think if you get to a point in the first half where you're starting to get down a couple scores, maybe you've had a turnover and you're worried that another one might come, I think you got to make the move and avoid any further damage. Now, at that point, it's tough to say you're putting the next quarterback in down a couple scores if it's going to make a difference or not. It's not the best position to do that in, but I just don't think you can afford to have another game that looks like that without trying something else. Otherwise, I'd be kind of surprised if they make a change as long as the game's close, you know, if Warner's not making any mistakes. I think Conklin's prepared to play if needed, but I think they would prefer to have obviously lead them to a victory, but to at least not give them a reason to take him out.
Well, we know that in the structure of what Entz and Davis want to do, the, and I don't want to use this one more time as a negative comment, the game manager type of quarterback is what they would prefer. We saw Conklin at Sac State, and we know this. He can make brilliant plays. Sometimes he can force the ball. He can be a little bit of the draw it up in the sand, right, which is tough to do when you're playing an artificial surface, but you know what I'm talking about. But the upside of a guy like Conklin is that he scares the daylights out of the defense, because as much as you want to scheme, you can do everything right. We talk about this in the National Football League, right, the guys that are like this. You can structurally, defensively do everything you right, do everything right that you possibly can. And yet that guy makes a play that you just didn't count on. And he does it maybe by a bootleg. It might be turns and throws a pass you couldn't dream he was going to throw because of the strength of his arm. And you leave the defensive coordinator scratching his head saying, I don't know how in hell to stop this guy. That is the upside and the downside. So one more time, with Conklin, the ceiling is higher. The floor was supposed to be lower, but my issue has been with Warner has been that his floor has been lower than it should have been for a game manager. Maybe he can solve that this weekend. If I were to ask you how it's going to play out from kickoff on, Jackson, what are you going to tell me? The Bulldogs are going to come out and try to run it, or the Bulldogs going to say, we're not even going to bother with it. You're going to try to stack it. We know that. So we're looking, yes, at our wide receivers, but we're also looking at the tight ends who have been open. We're looking, like I said, at backs like Luke and Donaldson, who are very effective catching the ball in the flat. If you can get it there in stride, those guys can break it. How are you going to approach it if you're Davis? Are you even going to bother with the run? Are you going to say, no, I know where you're going. We're going here, and we're going to force you to make the decision about whether you want to unload that box or not. How are you going to do it from the outset?
Yeah, I'm curious how – I think a lot of it does depend on what San Diego State does. The blueprint does say to stack the box. Again, the Aztecs do have a pretty good formula, and so I mean, if they can – make that work against the Bulldogs defense. Bulldogs offense, again, is going to make it even tough to find, you know, what the defense is giving you. They might have enough boxes checked where they're not really giving you anything. If that's the case, I think you definitely try to run it first. And if they do ditch some of their normal defense and load the box, then I would certainly like to see the Bulldogs try to go out to the outside a little bit more. If Ezekiel Abbott's healthy, I think that's a game changer for Fresno State, because you've got him, Josiah Freeman, and Richie Anderson. I think that's a trio of targets that you can make defenses make some decisions with, paired with your running game at this point. The Bulldogs haven't had a ton of games where Abbott and Freeman have both been healthy, and then Anderson wasn't really as involved as he was up until these last couple of games. So I think there is a little more threat to the passing game with all three of those guys on the field. This again, assuming that Abbott's good to go. I think that could be a little bit of the key there. At the same time, if you can, I think it would be good for this team on both sides of the ball to try to make these drives as long as possible. They can make this game as short as possible and as low scoring as possible. I think that's Fresno State's best chance. And so I think field position is going to be key. Not turning the ball over is key. I think there will be times where Fresno State, if they can punt the ball and have San Diego State take it from inside their 15 or so, that's going to be a win for Fresno State at times in the flow of this game. So it's going to be, I think, one of those grinds, as long as they can afford to play in that type of a grind and that the Aztecs don't put the Bulldogs behind.
All right, the last two things, something I addressed with you the other day, but for people who didn't hear it, do you dare, since the games were played in relative proximity, do some sort of comparative between Fresno State and Nevada here in the following week, what we saw at Mackey with the Aztecs going in there and winning 44-3. Is it something that if you're a Fresno State fan or even a coach, you don't dare to look at that because it's too damn depressing? I mean, how do you look at it? Because obviously Nevada had a great chance to win here. There, San Diego State dominated the game from the national anthem. So do you just throw that one out? I mean, or are you looking at other than the specifics, how you want to attack. Do you look at the overview at all to say, no, it's not healthy to do that?
Yeah, well, it certainly doesn't work out in Fresno State's favor, especially
That's
since it's a two-game sample size. It's not like you're just looking at one. It's, you know, two of the same opponents over the same stretch. It's ugly. One comparison, that's not as head-to-head, but, I mean, you look at Northern Illinois, a team where Coach Benedetto was last year. I'm sure there's some of the bones of his defense are still in that scheme. Some of the players that he coached, and that defense did hold San Diego State to 6 points. It was a scenario they probably could have won that game if things hadn't gone sideways for them at the end. So maybe Fresno State's defense, you can look at that. Maybe they'll have some answers for San Diego State. Hopefully Coach Benedetto's still on good terms with some of those guys over there and give them a few tips for what to do against the Aztecs. And again, if Fresno State, again, if they can have a good performance on defense and keep this game low scoring, I think we all believe, no matter how good or bad the quarterback play is, that Fresno State can score 14, 17, 20 points, and if that's enough to win, that we'll all take it. And so hopefully that's kind of the flow that this one goes in.
And we know, the last point here, that if you lose, you're now two games back of the Aztecs, and you've lost the tie break head-to-head, and you've got to go to Boise State on the Smurf turf, where right now the Broncos are playing as well as anybody in the conference. How good they really are, I guess we'll find out later. But for right now, I think we both know Fresno State has to win this game. So, Jackson, the last 30 seconds, flat out, will the Bulldogs win this game? Let's try it this way. If Fresno State wins the turnover battle, will the Bulldogs win this game?
I think they probably have to win the turnover battle, which means, 0-0 might not be enough if both teams play clean. I think they probably need a big swing play to put them over the top here, and that's already if they execute well and keep this one close and do what they need to do. I think Fresno State can win. Going back to the comparative scores, I think it's the odds makers threw that all out the window because San Diego State's only favored by, what, 3 or 4 in this game. So it's expected to be close, even despite some of the things that have gone on for these two teams lately. I just think the road to victory, the margin for error is a lot smaller for Fresno State. I think there's one path that they really need to follow unless this game just plays out weird. Sometimes that happens, obviously. Fresno State at Colorado State last game was one of those. I think back to when San Jose State came here in 2022 and the Bulldogs were 1-4. And that game, no one could have expected the way it turned out, the way the Bulldogs played, even last year's San Jose State game. So those things happen. Maybe it's one of those days, but all things being equal, I just think the path to victory, there's not much margin there. They've got to play really, really good defense and do just enough on offense. I think the Aztecs probably have more wiggle room to make some mistakes and overcome some things. So hopefully the Bulldogs are on their A game in this one.
Well, I know you'll be threading starting at 12:30. Hope people are out there. And again, on the board, 30% off right now, correct?
Yeah, 30% off for a full year of VIP subscription. So people get in on that and take advantage.
Jackson, always appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Take care.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Co-host Jackson Moore, BarkBoard.com. Take a break, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil, who is poised and ready at Fashion Furniture with our buddy Radovidikin. Do more about all of that, including the schedule, in just a moment as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 252. Here at the Money Show, hand it off to Phil. It's a great show behind the bench for 2 hours today at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Radovidikin. Again, a great conversation of Phil's show. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. Some good eats as well, El Paso across the river park. Stop in and see him. Check out the furniture. If you can't make it in person, you can give Phil a call and give him your input over the air at 559-320-1430, which is the Lee's Air Hotline. A quick reminder here, again, we want to thank everybody at Bulldog Bread Vodka and also Fresno Suit Outlet being part of the festivities for Jeff Tedford's Ring of Honor induction over the weekend. Again, remind you, Bulldog Bread Vodka now available at both the Clovis and Fresno Costco locations. Fresno won the one on Abbey off of Blackstone in Herndon. And again, support your dogs just in time for homecoming One sip at a time, $3 sold from every bottle goes to support student-athletes at Fresno State. So thanks to everybody there at Costco and at Bulldog Bread Vodka, available now at 100-plus locations. So it's a great success with Bulldog Bread Vodka. Also want to thank everybody at Fresno State Outlet. They want to congratulate Teddy, newest member of the Ring of Honor. They're very proud at Fresno State Outlet to be part of this historic occasion, as they have been part of previous occasions at the university as people have gone into the Ring of Honor. They've been serving their community at Fresno State Outlet for over 20 years and counting. You need a suit, you know, you stop by Fresno State Outlet and you can score yourself what we've heard for many years, the great $399 suit deal. So congrats to Jeff Tedford and everybody at Fresno State from our friends at Fresno State Outlet. Far as the upcoming schedule, brought to you by Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Want to bring you both 1430 and 790s schedules. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, we commend and everybody at Precision Civil Engineering for everything they do for Fresno State, his alma mater, particularly the Lyles College of Engineering. It has had a goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students through the Lyles College of Engineering, where so many of those graduates end up at Precision Civil Engineering. And we commend Ed for everything he does for his alma mater. As far as the schedule goes, for us, week 8 of the National Football League starts tonight. Phil, 3-5 at Fashion Furniture. Then it's time for an important matchup at SoFi between the Vikings and Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. That's a 5 o'clock kick from Westwood One. Also, tomorrow you have got Clovis at Clovis East, or at Central East, sorry. That game will be at Collegian. That will be Phil and Paul Metters. I think Pat Hill will be there as well for color analyst work. Also, the World Series starts tomorrow for us on 790, the first of the two in Toronto, so stay tuned for that. Over the weekend, the Raiders and Rams are on a bye. The 49ers are in Houston. They will play at 10 o'clock in the morning. That will be on 1430. The Lakers, of course, are underway. The Sharks, today, 3:30 on 790. They're in New York to play the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. So we have hockey, basketball, baseball, and football, all of it coming along in the next couple of days. And, of course, for us, the main focus, Fresno State at 12:30 against San Diego State. We'll have everything for you, beginning with Paul Leffler on Monday. The reminders about the shows on a daily basis, Phil, normally 3-6 with his fine show Behind the Bench. Again, you can reach him on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has two fine shows, Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics on 790 from 6 to 7 on Wednesdays. Keep in mind that game on the 3rd of November will be available on our air, the Fresno Pacific broadcast of Fresno Pacific and Fresno State basketball. By the way, we didn't have a chance to go over Media Days. Bulldogs picked for 11th in the conference at Media Days for basketball today. That was this morning for the men. The women are underway right now. We'll have that information for you a little bit later on today. Phil may have where the ranking is for the women as he comes up in just a couple of minutes. I'm with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number one at ATT.net. Also remind you, Paul Metters has his fine show on 1430 on Saturday morning, Central Valley Sports Report, live from First Ring Sports. That is from 10 a.m. to noon. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. You can check out the schedules. As I mentioned, a very, very busy week and weekend coming up for us. And then finally, want to remind you one more time about our great friends at KFC in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, and in Kerman. Right now, they have the great throwback special to what we saw in the 90s, and that is the tremendously popular honey barbecue flavoring for all of their offerings, and that includes everything you might see in regard to chicken sandwiches, tenders, and the crispy golden pieces you know and love. You have special deals for the 2, 3, and 4-piece meals. So check all that out at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. So thanks to everybody there. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and, of course, everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. One more time, give Phil a call on that Lee's Air hotline. He's come up in just a moment, 320-1430. Been a whole lot of information today coming down the pike about the gambling issues in the National Basketball Association. It has been a very unfortunate day in that regard, but we knew it was coming. And even beyond Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier, to find out that Damon Jones took confidence from LeBron James, who told them about his injury, and Damon Jones evidently told gamblers about it prior to it. This is the ugliness of all of this, and ESPN has condoned it, and they are reaping what they sow right now. It's really, really unfortunate. I'm sure Phil will have more about it. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Jackson. See you tomorrow with Brian Panish on KFIG Fresno.